Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Like, it's interesting to me how we watch multiple brains have this conversation and take that premise and go two different ways. Like, you ask, well, Steph, this isn't working, so why won't you do something different? My question is, no, why is it happening in the first place? Why is it happening in the first place? We all watch the NBA. We all have agreed on something that's been around since before any of us were born, and it's called star treatment. Star treatment. And in the NBA, and quite frankly in all sports, basically when all things are equal, lean into the star. And all of us have experienced that in watching sports. And then there's Steph. And you're like, for some damn reason, it goes the opposite way. And he's even speaking to it on the court after the game. Why on earth would Steph Curry not get star treatment? Why would the officials not call the fouls that are clearly there? Like, we need to access that question.
Right.
Or answer, I should say.
Well, for me, just being a longtime NBA aficionado and a guy who's refereed at lower levels, when you see Steph Curry and he gets contacted, a lot of times the contact is not as violent or severe as other players because he doesn't attack the rim and go into the body where it's an absolute collision that has to be called. A lot of times when Steph goes to the basket, he is getting to his spot, getting to his angle, and there's contact, but he's smaller. He is much more slight of frame. And so the contact is not so violent that it absolutely demands a whistle. Now, your point about star treatment is the one that I can't get into the head of a referee.
It's crazy.
It feels like a player of his stature should get a lot more of these ticky-tack touch calls like James Harden gets anytime you bump Harden, and he embellishes it, and Trae Young, and that's where
I wish people could all see you. You just did the head snap.
Yeah, and I did it
in
so
the middle
I could
of
stay
conversation.
I had to stay on mic. You snap the head and you get right back on mic because you're a pro.
Yeah, but it was well executed.
None of us want him to turn into that. Trae Young and Harden and the rest of it. But I do wonder about.
I don't want him to be a screamer either. I don't want him to be Luka.
I don't want him to be a screamer.
But stand there at the other end of the court and have a conversation with the ref while who you're supposed to be guarding is dunking at the other end.
Well, that's what Westbrook did last night.
Yes.
He smoked a layup and he stood there and then he ran back and he fouled the three-point shooter.
Ruined that game five different ways and then got mad at a fan on the way out the door when the fan was like, what the hell are you doing?
He's a piece of work. I'm not saying that I want Steph to turn into a full Draymond Green, but when you have a game like you have against Portland coming up that you're going to win most likely regardless, it's okay to lose your cool, to blow a stack, to send a message. You're not getting the star treatment you deserve 16 years in. So, you know, just having a post-game moment like last night, that's not sending a message to anybody.
Yeah. Where's the self-assessment? Like, we have this conversation and we're assessing the way Steph does it. Why can't the league assess the way they're doing it? Like, we all see this. You can't tell me the whole city is a bunch of homers. We all see this. Like, you got to be nuts if you watch the last couple of weeks of Steph Curry play basketball and tell me you, looks normal to me. Looks like every other star. Dude, that epic game between Denver and Minnesota last night, do you know how many free throws there were just in the last 15 minutes? They called every single time Jokic or Gordon or Edwards, every single time they went in there. If your arms get lifted up, that's a foul. Foul every single time. And it was a parade to the free throw line.
Denver shot 44 free throws. Minnesota shot 25.
Yeah.
And won.
And won. Yes. Thanks to Russell Westbrook.
Well, yeah.
Let's go to Judy in Oakland. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. So I'm super annoyed, I'm sorry, with this conversation, did you're tripping. And so I don't get how you are expecting Steph to be responsible for the fact that the refs are not giving him calls. And you keep saying 16 years. That just makes it that much more ridiculous that the refs have not gotten it together. This man has four chips. He's got MVPs. He deserves respect. It's not about him having to cut up on the floor and be Luka and Harden and all the ridiculousness. That stuff is annoying, and nobody likes watching those games. I hate it when Draymond is going bad on the refs every 5 minutes. It's annoying. It's not fun to watch. It's not who Steph is, and I don't want him to turn into that person. The refs just need to be doing their job equally and fairly. If you're calling it on one side, call it on the other. He stays bleeding with scratches and all the things. That isn't his fault. And I'm so annoyed that you're making it his fault that the refs have not given him the respect he deserves after all these years.
But Judy, thank you for the call. I'm not making it his fault. I'm just looking for Steph Curry to take action in his own way because, yes, he's not getting the calls and he stays bleeding and he is not getting the star treatment. And we are 16 years into it, so... Yes, it's the refs who need to make the adjustment, but the refs have not made the adjustment. So if you have a neighbor and their dog craps on your lawn over and over and over, and you ask your neighbor politely to please,
okay, like
please,
right.
Please, can you please tell right. Fido to stop it? And, I'll get it. After 16 years, I'm taking a shovel and I'm putting that in your mailbox because enough is enough. I've asked you for 16 years, and now, guess what? Fido's five bagger is in your mailbox.
Right.
And when you go in there to get your PG&E bill.
But what did that achieve?
It achieved, I sent a message.
Yes, but did Fido show up again the next day? In other words, none of that, of that adjudicates your neighbor for his ridiculous behavior. You should not need to build a wall around your front yard because your neighbor's a jerk. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I'm with you, but at some point after 16 years, you've got to do something different other than, hey, Bill, can you have Fido crap somewhere else?
It's also, I do think, now we're getting into an area where I also think we're maybe presenting Steph in an inaccurate way. I don't think, Steph is not silent on the floor. Steph is not silent, and I don't think you're asking for him to go like crazy. Like, you're not asking for him to make a scene, are you?
No. I'm asking for him to self-advocate to a level. Well,
he talks to the refs.
Whatever he's doing.
Right, right. It's not working, which is the ref's fault.
Well, then let's send a firmly worded email to Adam Silver about how we feel like we're being mistreated.
This is my email. This show and this microphone and this conversation. Yeah. I'm not expecting it to be different tomorrow night. Good Lord, they're playing the Lakers. It's probably going to be worse.
Exactly.
It's probably going to be worse. But, this is my email. And yes, it'll be ignored, just like an email.
Well, in his email was the cut, and you can play it on the other side, that he said to Fitz and Buki, and it was completely passive-aggressive. I want to see aggressive-aggressive. Like, these mother jumpers aren't giving me blank. I mean...
Don't you lose a little bit of what... Everybody loves about Steph then.
Temporarily.
I don't know, man. That's what's so special is you've never even seen it for a minute. You've never seen it.
Right.
Like,
Well,
the list of days where Steph was like, ooh, that was a bad look, is still blank. It's totally blank in 16 years.
I threw a mouthpiece once.
Yeah, I didn't find that to be a thing. We're sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. A lot of you are lined up, okay? Stay right where you are. Kevin and Joe and Brian and T.Y. and Larry. Here we come. 888-957-9570 and Steve Kerr at 5, Willard and Dibs.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mooney flies in for the rebound, saves the ball to Curry. 37 seconds left. He'll lead Butler to the front court, and the Warriors can go 2-for-1 here. Curry, though, takes a quick three and hit it from the right sideline. He's got a 32-point half. What the heck? You don't need a 2-for-1 when you've got Curry. My goodness. That was ridiculous.
Now back to Willard.
Oh.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
All right. Thank you, Chef. Now go yell at a ref tomorrow night, because all those whistles are going to be going LeBron's way. You won't need to look very far to see what star treatment looks like.
Yeah, and they got two of them.
They got two of them.
Who get that treatment?
Yep. Yep. Steve Kerr is going to join us in 40 minutes. That ought to be active. I'm looking forward to this conversation. The Warriors are really in a spot. Really, really good one after last night's victory. And they are now 44-31. But don't look behind you, because they're right there. Minnesota is right there, and Memphis is right there, and the Clippers are right there. And I do believe, in fact, the Clippers have action tonight at home against the Pelicans.
Mm.
So the Clippers are a game out. Clippers are a half game out, because they are going to win that basketball game later on tonight in Los Angeles. So last night, great start to the big four-game week, but by no stretch did you shake free of anything that you were worried about. You know, they had to have it, and they got it, but still a lot of work.
A
lot of work ahead.
Yeah, and you've got Houston still to come, and they're in action at the top of the hour. I'm not saying that you can catch them. You're 4.5 back, and they only have 6 games left to go. But as far as, like, general seeding goes, Rockets could, you know, fall back, and Denver can jump them. There's a lot of things that can still be done here in the top 6 or the top 8 even.
Just got a piece of breaking news, and this one is not surprising at all in this Spurs-Nuggets game that's going to start in a little bit over an hour and a half. What do you think I'm about to say? Spurs and Nuggets are playing tonight after last night. What do you think I'm about to say?
Nikola Jokic has been hospitalized with general exhaustion.
Something near that. Nikola Jokic will not play tonight.
Right.
Nikola Jokic will not play tonight. He will save himself for Friday night at Chase Center.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
When you play 53 minutes and you go 61-10-10 and you lose, I'm surprised he didn't just retire from basketball.
I mean,
you know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
I've had it.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
61-10-10 and your teammate can't make a layup that he shouldn't have taken, and then just bumbles into a guy shooting a three. Like, if you're Jokic, you're thinking, I can only do so much here, my friends. 61-10-10,
dude,
it's an L. And before we go back to the phones, I was running through all the Steph Curry 50-point games. He's had 15 of them in the regular season. What do you think the Warriors' record is when Steph gets 50 or more points?
Wait,
of 15 games.
15 games. What's the record when he scores 50 or more?
Yeah.
I bet that they are, just memory serves, that they're pretty good, but not undefeated.
Yep.
I go 10-5.
Dude, look at the big brain on Brett.
Yep.
Exactly.
10-5.
10-5.
Boom.
5-5 on the road, 5-0 at home.
At home.
Yeah. And, you know, the Knicks was his first one, 54 in a loss, and he had 57 against Dallas in a loss, and I could run through all of them. But the other thing that I found fascinating is in his 50-point games, from three in those games, 59.7%. 59.
That's stupid.
0.7.
That's absurd.
Because last night was 12 of 20.
Right.
The first game against the Knicks, 11 of 13. He is 148 for 248 from three.
Jeez.
When he scores 50 points, nearly 60%, my brother.
That's a lot.
That's
a lot.
Bananas.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right. 888-957-9570. Spirited conversation with regard to Steph Curry and the whistle. Let's go to Kevin in Palo Alto. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And I wanted to actually have 2 points to make, and I'll take the answer off the air. The discussion about the fouls and non-calls reminded me of something that Jeremy Lin, who was a Warrior, as you know, 8 years ago, there was a compilation of these flagrant non-calls that a lot of the fans have put together, and he was also 6'3". And I think you have something about diminutive or smaller NBA players who, depending on their style or their position or their the way they're built, don't get the calls. And it's really frustrating as a fan, because I saw that same thing you had referred to, Mark, where he was fouled four times. And it went the other way. And I was telling my wife is like, Steph doesn't get calls. So it has become a affected thing for Warriors fans, is that Steph is just not going to get breathed on like LeBron and get to the foul line. And so that was my first thing, is I think there is something about the diminutive stature of the players that you have discussed. And my second point is this something where Coach Kerr or the owner, Joe, anybody could just, you know, take a fine from the NBA, but just like, and say, look, this is not how we treat star players in this league. But and you can show. We have all the AI to demonstrate this is the number of times he has gotten calls, and this is not healthy for the league's players and their health moving forward.
Well, it's an interesting question.
Thanks, Kevin.
I'm sure that they have sent things to the league. Teams do that all the time. But I sort of put your last point there in the same bucket as Dibs, what you're saying, which is why should Steve Kerr have to go take a fine? Why? I agree with him that I think that this is like the why in terms of why he's officiated this way. I think it's a combination of his size and his style. His style is got this sort of like wispy nature to it. It makes it look very, very finesse. To me, that's still no excuse. We're all watching the game, and we can see when the guy gets knocked around. We can see, here's what really bothers me, because like non-calls, whatever, it happens in life. What bothers me is that I can sit down and watch a game, and I can actually see that that is the opponent's game plan. And it's encouraged by the referee response.
Well, it's not discouraged.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. It is encouraged. Like the other team, you can tell that it's their game plan is to go out there and beat them up, and the referees largely do not make them pay for that. That's what gets me. But it's not on Steph to scream or Steve to have a weird press conference. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, in my opinion.
Right, and I agree with that part of it, but here we are in year 16, and this has been a narrative ever since he was a rookie in 2009, and that's about 7 jobs ago for me. Multiple firings, multiple shows, multiple day parts, multiple radio stations, and here we are, and it's the same story, it's the same narrative. He's been playing longer than this station has been on the air, and even since then, 2009, this has been a thing. So I get your point, and you're not wrong. It shouldn't be on Steve Kerr or Steph Curry to do something about this, but nothing has been done about this. So at this point, 16 years in, face of the league, 37 years old, 2-time MVP, 4-time champ, and you still aren't getting the whistle? Well, now it's time to get to a different level of trying to make something happen, a different level of change. That's for me.
Yeah.
And again, it's not on him. And you know what? Don't say anything and watch it all continue. Or say something, do something, and maybe it won't change either, but at least you would have attempted to try something different other than being incredibly classy and quiet,
right,
and just basically taking it.
Yeah, but see, to me, that's calling for the incorrect behavior for all parties. Like, one of the things I love, and here it is again from Steph after the game on NBC Sports Bay Area. Listen to how he answers this.
It's my reality. I've been in this situation for a long time. It's like a playoff game. Like, you have to adjust to what, you know, how the game's being called. You can have a reaction, but you don't want to let it distract you from, you know, what the task is. So I think trying to stay as even keel as possible. That doesn't mean you're passive or giving into it. You're kind of fighting through it and not looking to get bailed out, even though, you know, you feel like it's not going your way.
It's literally exactly what we tell people to do when they're faced with challenges in life. Like, do you want to, like, scream about it, or do you want to put your head down, find a different way so that you can still have success? Because let's not act like this is stopping Steph from having his success. Look at his career, right?
Yep,
and 52
yep.
points last night. Like, he obviously, he can handle it. And we don't like whiners. We don't like complainers. All of these things that you're suggesting, I get where you're coming from. The core of your point is, well, what you're doing doesn't work, so do it different. But my God, one thing I would never say to Steph Curry is do it different. Like, I love every single thing about the way he handles everything, including this. When a challenge is presented in life, you need to work through it and around it and all of that. You need to handle it. And screaming and kicking and complaining is not the way. You have to find your way to success. And he's done that. But then, sort of like once the day is done, you can assess from a larger scale, well, what is causing these inequities? And then maybe work on those at like a higher level. And that's what I would love to see. That's to me why it's on the league. It's on the league to have these conversations.
Right. But again, I will revert back to the reality of where we are 16 years into it. And I wonder why coaches and even players yell at referees. Why do you yell at a referee? It's because you want to influence the next call.
And or because it's your personality.
Perhaps. But
you know what I mean? Like
Steve Kerr, it's not his personality, but he will get after a ref.
I think he's tried to tell us. Steve does a good job. I think Steve's a more fiery person than it seems like if you
talk
to him.
No doubt. All you have to do is see the competitiveness.
Yeah.
But the reason why basketball players and coaches at almost every level, the reason why you yell at the referee is because you're trying to influence the next decision. And you know what? It actually works. From a referee standpoint, when a coach gets after you over a call that maybe wasn't the right one,
maybe.
And if they do it the right way and you hear it, then you're thinking, okay, you know, they may have a point there, so the next close one, it's going to go your way, and he doesn't do that.
Or it gets you teed up and fined. Like, I mean, I watched Phil Jackson.
He can afford it.
Phil Jackson, but it doesn't matter. They shouldn't have to.
But you know he has to. I'm with you on the he shouldn't have to, but he has to.
There are different ways to do it. Phil Jackson used to affect the way the officials called games, and he did not do it by screaming in their face. He did it by this, like, passive-aggressive press conference, mental approach thing where he would kind of get things going in a certain direction, but he'd do it in a very, very calm way. Again, I don't think Steph Curry is not talking to the refs. I think he is. I think he is. But I do not want him to do it in a different way just because at this point we're not getting what we feel is sort of an equitable result in these games. Joe in Castro Valley is next. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm with you on this, Willard. But I think the problem is, we just have human bias out there, and you're going to have we're looking to get fair calls for free, and I'm with you on this. I think you're going to have to. We need to have no humans officiating games. That really is the bottom line. You start using tech or something like we have the tech out there. We can make this happen, and then you give it all the bias out there because. If we need to stop having inequitable calls, you got to complain. We shouldn't be condoning bullying mentality out there. That's not the whole point. So I'll take my call off the air. Thanks, guys.
All right, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks.
And I wonder about that. Like, if you go to, I guess it would be AI officiating. So every single action that would be, I guess, ostensibly, objectively a foul, you're going to be looking at 60 fouls a game.
Yeah,
and the game becomes an unwatchable whistle fest because one of the beauties of the NBA or the NFL, baseball is a little different because a pitch is thrown, strike or ball, another pitch will be thrown. It doesn't change the flow of the game. But in the NFL, if you wanted to have like robots call the game, every play is holding and So now it's going to be, what are we doing?
I'm not there yet, not even close. And by the way, I want to make this point. I'm not asking for perfection at all.
You're looking for a little bit more equity.
I'm not asking for perfection. I don't think that exists in life. Like, I don't have any problem with human beings being out there, and I don't have a problem with mistakes. But what I'm looking at is twofold. One, I see a player that's getting it on the wrong side of the fence more often than others. And then I'm struggling to understand that approach. Again, I actually, if I'm calling for something, I actually am calling for an inequity in the other direction. Like, I'm calling for the league to officiate Steph Curry in a different way than they officiate other players. I'm fine with that. I don't think the world needs to be all super fair and all that. Like, I don't think that. Different players get officiated different ways. Different players get coached different ways. Different kids get parented different ways. And Steph Curry has earned every single thing that you could possibly earn in the way of respect and understanding his importance to the league. I wonder how the league office will feel if one of these hard fouls leads to something awful. How would you feel? That would be brutal for the league.
Well, you already had the case where he had a pelvic contusion.
Exactly.
On a contact that was not called, and, you know, that happened, and even if they called a foul, he still would have landed hard on the small of his back, and he still would have had a pelvic contusion, but he should have had a foul called there, and I'm looking at all of his actions last night, and there was a couple that I'm just looking at him right now that they should have been called, but they aren't. And so why doesn't he get the calls that other people get? I do think a lot of it is his stature, the fact that he is a lot smaller and a lot more slight. It's not to excuse the officials, but I look at where we are in his career, and he is a superstar. And if you still aren't getting the star treatment, well, it might be time to try a different approach to get that star treatment, because what he has done and what Steve Kerr has done or not done, it hasn't led to more free throw attempts.
888-957-9570, Steve Kerr in 25 minutes. Let's do. Let's go to Brian in Hayward. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry, I got interrupted.
That's okay.
Taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Shout out to all Bay Area sports fans, right? And shout out to all Bay Area sports casters. But if you guys really think Steph Curry needs to change his game, then maybe you need a new job.
Don't do him like, why are you doing like that?
I'm just doing what he did.
Don't make fun of his laugh. I thought he had an infectious laugh.
And I just simply mimicked it. Was there mockery in my tone?
Absolutely.
You're damn right there was.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Again.
And I could see your face, and there was even more mockery in that.
Good Lord.
The rest of the crowd can't see your face.
Yeah,
how YouTube?
YouTube, 95.7 The Game. Yeah. And, again, I'm not looking for him to change his game. I'm looking for him to change his approach to coaxing or encouraging more calls to go his way. Because the baby-faced assassin, aw shucks demeanor has led to 4 free throws a game. And Trae Young, a guy who is very similar to him, shoots more than 2 free throws per game, more than he does, and he plays largely the same kind of basketball.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you're overstating what Steph does on the court. I don't think there's an aw shucks demeanor. I don't feel that way when I watch him play basketball.
Whatever, however you want
to assess
it.
Do you feel like Trae Young and Steph Curry have a different sort of demeanor approach
Absolutely.
To the game? You do?
Trae Young, every single time he gets contacted, is either going down or throwing his head back.
Right. Correct.
It nets more free throw attempts.
But it's not good. It does not net more wins. It does not net more stats. Like, he is a
well, he's
much,
not the same player that Steph
no,
Curry is.
No, he's a much lesser player.
Of course.
So that I think that's at the core of what we're getting at here. Like, what you're suggesting to me makes Steph a lesser player than what he is right now.
disagree.
That would, yes.
What I'm suggesting
anything
is that,
the histrionics and the flopping and the carrying on and the head snapping and the screaming at refs.
None of that.
That makes him a lesser player.
What I'm advocating is for him to become more of an advocate for himself when it comes to getting calls.
And I think he does that. Well, I think he does that.
I don't think that he does it to the point where it actually nets more free throw attempts, because you look at his stats over the course of even the last 3 years, and he's shooting fewer free throws than he did last year and fewer than he did the year before. So he's trending in the wrong direction. And, you know, it's mostly fans who want him to get more whistles. Steph doesn't really ever come out and say, yeah, I'm not getting the calls that I need to get. And that's part of why we love him, because he takes the high road.
Not a complainer, yes.
It might be time to go low road one time.
Yeah. It's fun. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. It's just not who he is. It's not who he is, and I would never ask him to do that. I don't think that it would be a good look, and I don't think that it would even work. Let's go to Ty on Hayward Bridge. What's going on, Ty? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Ty.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I used to listen to one of the most amazing shows in the morning. It had a man named Dibs on it, and then they were smart enough to add a man named Willard to the show later. So I really appreciate the combination there. But anyway, what I really want to say is that I agree slightly with a lot that's been said, but I just want Dibs to finish his sentence, that I believe that if Curry doesn't approach the way that fouls are not being called on him, it would be a stagnation.
Sensation.
Yeah, there it is.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I always wanted to hear that.
It's very good.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Been riding with us for a long time, Ty. I appreciate that.
Oh, gosh.
He doesn't have to change the way he goes about it, but the way he's gone about it with such class and aplomb and restraint has not netted the results that fans want.
Can I share the sentence that you texted that started all this last night?
You sure can.
Okay.
Because it got hot.
Well, yeah, and it should have.
Yeah. You hit me with a dog, and you actually hit me with another thing, too. Like,
wait a minute.
I'll read what you wrote.
I called you a dog. I did. Yeah.
Dog.
Dude.
Because that's when you get like frustrated.
This is going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
Like,
D-A-W-G.
You started this, like I sent the thread, that clip that we keep playing, which is Steph being like, yeah, this is my reality and I got to work through it and all that stuff. And you replied with, he's costing his team points. Do you believe that?
To the extent that he could get more free throws,
Steph Curry is costing his team points.
In that, and this was shorthand, it was a short response.
We're in the shadow of a 52-point road victory. Steph Curry is costing his team points.
He could get to the foul line more. And if he gets to the foul line, he's going to make it. So to that extent, yes. Mm. I mean, if you want to talk about how he's not getting calls, and I agree with that, he deserves to get more calls. But he doesn't get more calls, and when he goes on the post game and says what you played before, which is basically a passive-aggressive way of saying, I'm out here getting mauled, and I'm getting screwed, and night after night, these three zebras with whistles are blowing it. They need to give me...
Not blowing
they
it
need, Right. They need to give me my just desserts. They need to blow the damn whistle.
Instead, it's
my reality. And, you know, I fight through it, and I admire that, but get to the line.
I know, but at the core of our entire conversation, I think it's this, is the phraseology that you chose there. Steph Curry is costing his team points. See, I would say the officials are costing the Warriors points. That's what I would say. Do you see the difference?
I do.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, but, like, why does James Harden shoot 9 free throws a game?
I don't know.
Because he embellishes, he hunts, he flops.
Why doesn't James Harden ever get to the finals?
I did once.
You did?
OKC.
Oh, yeah.
Off the bench.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live work and vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Here for more of your calls. Stay right where you are. We're coming in Steve Kerr in 18 minutes on Willard and Dibbs.
Somebody other than Curry's got to come along for the ride tonight for the Warriors to win this. Bain stops, squeezes in, pass stolen by Curry. Curry takes it down the middle of the floor, stops, and shoots another three. It's good! Straight on! His 11th three of the night.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Wait, I thought we agreed.
We agreed. Area is Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
No, we did. We
agreed.
We agreed.
It was going to be a Kuminga-free show.
It is.
You just said it.
But I don't have an opinion to share.
You just said his name.
Right, because I have a fact to share.
Okay, great. First name Jonathan, last name Kuminga. Kuminga. Yeah.
Granted, Bay Area is Jonathan Kuminga.
It is. Jonathan Kuminga has been listed as questionable for tomorrow night's game against the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, just wanted to pass that along.
Nice pass.
LeBron James, probable.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the stupidest tag in sports. I don't know why they use that.
Right.
When you're probable, you play.
Basically.
And when you're doubtful, you don't.
Well, that's the NFL thing for sure.
There's doubtful in the NBA too. I think Cade Cunningham was listed as doubtful for tonight for the Detroit Pistons. He's not playing.
Yeah.
Just put him out.
Well, in the NFL,
just out.
NFL, if you're doubtful, you play, I think, 0.1% of the time. And when you're probable, you play about 99% of the time. So you're right. It's either you're questionable or you're playing or you're out.
Well, like, it's almost as if they're like, look, he's in, but you never know what could happen, which is like, well, that's true for people who are in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could wake up and have slept on your back wrong, and you can't walk. You were in, you're not now.
Exactly.
So now we're taking you out. So you're allowed to do that. I don't know why probable and doubtful exist. Everything in life is probable or doubtful.
Exactly.
Nothing is certain.
Well, and everything,
I can't tell you 100% that we're going to be here to do the show tomorrow. It's probable.
It's probable.
It's very, very probable.
Yes. And I mean, everything
possibly
essentially is questionable, right? Like, you could wake up tomorrow and be gung-ho to do the show, and you could get on the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Golden Gate Bridge can be shut down for 7 hours, and you could just be stuck there.
See, by the way, that's the way my mom lives her life. She literally lives her life that way. Like, if you said, Mom, the flight leaves at 5, and we live about 30 minutes from the airport, what time should we leave?
Now.
At 9 in the morning?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Because there could be a problem?
I love your mom more and more. That's me.
I'm like, oh, my
Different
God.
Traveling with a 2-year-old, but if I have a flight at, let's say, noon, if I can get there at 9:30, I'm going to get there at 9:30.
Okay.
That way I can, everything's good, I'm through security, I'm going to get to the gate, read a book.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Have a pop. Whatever I need to do. I'm within 100 yards of the gate, and I got an hour and a half. I'm happy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, if you got there the night before.
A little extreme. And Monday was a little dicey because I was flying home for the show.
That was very out of character for you.
Wildly.
Why did you even plan it that way?
Because I wanted that extra night. We wanted that last night. I wanted a full Sunday and then a night, and then with a 2-year-old. You got to return the rental car in San Diego. The rental car drop-off is like 11 miles away.
You set up a day that to me sounds like hell. You're like, we're going to get an extra night there. But when we wake up, we're going to be in San Diego, even though I've got work in San Francisco at about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a 2-year-old with us. We've got to go to the airport.
Car seat, stroller, and three bags.
We've got to drop off a rental car. Then we got to take a shuttle. We got to get to the airport. Then we got to not only check bags, but we got to check odd size bags.
Yep.
Got to make sure that the flight's on time. And then if the flight's on time, once we land, then we've got to handle again baggage and odd size baggage.
And the 2-year-old still in tow.
And we
got
to get to wherever our car is. And once we get to our car, we'll drive that car to a BART station.
Yep.
So that I can have already packed for work 5 days in advance.
Did it.
And go straight to the office.
Yep.
and talk to that annoying Willard guy.
That's enough for me, Doug.
Jesus, that sounds like the worst day of my life.
A little busy. And after 3 days with a two-year-old, I couldn't wait to talk to that annoying guy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I don't yike it for three straight days.
Well, when the Warriors lose road games to the Hawks, she's not wrong.
No, she didn't yike that.
I don't yike it either.
She did not yike that.
Yeah.
But happy to be back
anyway.
And talk to you. But yes, I get Ellen Willard, and she and I are cut from the
same. We've got to go now! Tom! Anyway.
Tom!
It's unbelievable. Oh,
can you help
God.
Me with my boarding pass?
Seriously. She's like, the July 4th picnic is on the 3rd this year. We've got to leave now. Can you help me fix my phone? It's like, relax. It's okay. Anyway, how about Steve Curry here, 5 minutes. Let's go to Larry in the city. Hi, Larry. Thanks for the call.
Hey, fellas. I am going to fall on the dib side of the fence.
Ah,
I think that...
No, go ahead, Larry. Sorry.
And I'm going to take a Dave Chappelle statement. Sometimes you got to be a lion in order to be the lamb that you truly are. And Steph, like, we're not going to change our opinion of who he is, his character. You can get on the refs one time. We're not saying be Luka or anyone else where you're constantly on the ref, but when this is as egregious as it was last night and I watched too, like, yeah, come to the media and say, you know what? They got to be better. They have to be better. You can stay in the Steph voice or the Steph tone or whatever you all like, but the pressure it causes on the refs in the league to say, hey, we don't want this thing to become a thing like the Patrick Mahomes thing came and all of a sudden you're in the Super Bowl not getting anything, right? And so put the pressure on them. Get on them. You know, like, you can advocate for yourself. You taught that from the first time you hit kindergarten.
Right.
Advocate for yourself.
But Larry, he does. But he does, Larry. Like, that's the one thing that I struggle with here in fully understanding your point is I do think at times in this conversation, Steph has been mischaracterized. Don't you? Do you think he doesn't advocate for himself out there?
Well, I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm saying that the force in which you do it, it doesn't change who you are. And if you do it every now and again, we're going to say this. Wow, Steph is really on the ref. It must have been really, really bad because that's not who he is. And so to say, stay in this box where you are. No, you can step out the box a little bit. It doesn't change your nature and who you are. It just doesn't. We've watched 16 years of this guy. So if he gets on the ref a little bit, we can say, you know what? About time. It's been 16 years of shocks. Gee, come on, guys, let's be better. Till you say, give him a Jordan
right.
moment where do your effing job.
Right. Larry,
thank
thanks.
You, Larry.
I hear you. I actually think that what's being suggested here would be more jarring to y'all than maybe you think. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of the things that I appreciate about Steph Curry, maybe more than all of the characteristics we talk about, is his consistency. Dude, he's unbreakable. He's absolutely unbreakable. You cannot, I mean, so it seems. I don't want to act like I know him. But when you're at this level of stardom for this long and you don't have a traffic ticket that we know about, do you know what I mean? Like nothing. 16 years in the league, a decade at the top of his profession, the face of the league, an international superstar, and the list of transgressions, the list of things about which we could criticize him, it's blank. It's blank. He doesn't even have he waltzed over to Stephen A. Smith in the middle of the game and started yelling at him. He doesn't even have that. So for him to suddenly become this squeaky wheel on the court, I hear what you're all saying. I just think it's a bigger reach for him than maybe you're giving it credit for.
I don't think it's as big of a reach as you're describing. It doesn't mean that if he goes off one time that suddenly now we no longer admire him for the humanitarian and the person that he is. And I just was Googling Steph Curry and ejections, and he's actually been ejected from the basketball game three times. And I'm looking at the one most recent in 2023 when he threw the mouthpiece. Jordan Poole takes a shot. Steph Curry's clapping for the ball. Poole goes ahead and shoots it. Curry runs down the court and just throws his mouthpiece, and it goes in the crowd, and it hits somebody, and so it's boop, roop, and you're gone. And that was a moment where he lost his cool. He threw the mouthpiece, but none of us have ever thought differently about him.
I don't even understand throwing somebody out for throwing a mouthpiece.
Well, you can't throw a mouthpiece into the crowd and hit a fan. I mean, that's
a mouth. I mean, it's a little gross.
Right.
But, like, I don't know, dude. I mean,
I get what you're saying.
That's kind of a funny thing to throw someone out of a game for.
It is, but it's, I mean, it's garden variety. When it, like, if you throw the ball in the stands, you get ejected. If you throw your mouthpiece into the stands and it hits somebody, then you get ejected. No big deal. My point is that nobody thinks about that incident and thinks, oh, boy, Steph, I mean, I can no longer let my kids wear the 30 jersey because Steph Curry got ejected. If he goes off on a ref and maybe he gets two texts and he gets ejected, no one's going to think, oh, boy, we got to burn the Curry jersey.
No,
that's it.
Not that. I don't think his brand goes away. I just think you're asking, like, he literally would need to step out of who he is to do that. And that's a net negative, big time, big time. Like, the mental space that you need to get into, I would think, to perform in these games is significant. And these guys know exactly who they are and where they need to be and that mindset and all of those things. The approach for him to suddenly become someone who's going to stop what he's doing out there so that he can really, as you say, get into a ref. And this too technical thing, like, my God, it's not okay. Oh, my God, his brand would fall. But think of the way Steph handles load management. Hell, he goes into the stands, starts taking pictures with people, signing things. Like, he does not want to get kicked out of a game. By the way, the Warriors stink when he's not out there. So we don't want Steph doing that. I don't want him doing any of that stuff. So anyway, 888-957-9570 is the number. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.